Podtacular episode 434, When Night Falls, for July 24th, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are back, this time, with some interesting Nightfall news as San Diego Comic-Con starts today. Getting a lot of stuff out of the convention coming over, and we have some other people to talk about it as well. First off is Final Postmortem, back on the show. Welcome back.
What's up, guys? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Good to have you back on. We got some massive Halo lore-ish type stuff to talk about, so it's a good podcast for you guys to be on. And then we also have TD Spiral coming back to the show. Welcome back, man.
What's up?
Not much, other than a bunch of Nightfall news, which is going to be the subject of tonight's podcast.
I'm very excited about Nightfall.
I think a lot of us are. I am super pumped. I am ready for this to come out. I don't know if I can wait until November. There's lots of stuff that I'm excited for this, especially
November that are worth the hype.
Yes, very true. So, just to go over a couple of administrative things real quick, some people may have noticed that Brent Gamer hasn't been around for a while, and that's actually because he has taken the choice to step down. He wants to take care of some life stuff and just kind of focus on spending time with family and doing some other things. So he has decided to step down from doing the show, and to take his place, we're bringing on Biowolf, who's been a big supporter of the podcast. He's been around for a good while, comes over from Ready Up Live and that crew, and he's very passionate about Halo. So he was a pretty good fit, and he came by China just as at the right time too. So he's going to be the one you're going to hearing behind the microphone a little bit more here on poddaggler.com. So I know a lot of people like Brent, and I really enjoyed his radio voice, and I'm sure a lot of other people did as well, but times change, and we will see him back, that's for sure. He'll be back on shows, but he just won't be as regular of a voice as you will hear on the shows. But I hope you guys will find Biowolf's input very valuable. He has some very good thoughts into the Halo universe, and Biowolf, you want to kind of give a little bit of your history behind Halo and kind of what is the thing that makes you a Halo fan? What makes you tick to be a big Halo person?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been a Halo fan since I was about 10 years old. Me and my friend were just messing around one day, and he told me if I could sit there and beat this level on Halo CE on Legendary, he'd give me his extra Xbox with a Halo game. I beat it, and I've been a Halo fan ever since. It's been really cool, just with playing Halo Reach, playing Halo 3, just having a fun time with people, you know, custom games, all this different type of stuff. Not to mention just the storyline of it, I think has my attention more than anything else, you know, with Chief and just the lore. I mean, not just even the books, it's absolutely awesome. And there's not a lot of other franchises out there that like has that gripping of a story, and I think that kind of makes it more compelling to keep going with and all that good stuff. So
cool. What's kind of your most favorite moment of Halo so far?
Ooh, that's tough.
I know we asked the tough ones here on Podtacular.
Honestly, I gotta say it has to be on Halo 4. Spoiler alert. I know it's kind of past that, but when you and Chief and Cortana go into that scene where she goes, I always wanted to do this, and she touches his chest, and she kind of like talks with him for a little bit. I mean, I think that's probably it. There's too many, but I think that one kind of stands out the most.
That one definitely sticks out for me too. It's a very kind of emotional pulling moment, I think. Well, that's kind of where Biowolf stands. He's going to be on the podcast, like I said, a lot more. So hopefully you guys will find his input entertaining and very valuable as he begins his time here on Podtacular. So diving into some of the news today, we have, of course, San Diego Comic-Con starting today, and they had the Halo Nightfall panel at San Diego Comic-Con with Frankie, Kiki, and a couple of the staff or the actors that were part of Halo Nightfall, which is, I believe it's already finished filming and they're in post-production right now. So lots of cool stuff so far from what we've seen. If you're watching us on the live stream, you actually have the movie poster as a little wallpaper for those that are watching. Lots of cool little tidbits of information coming out from the teaser as well. And let's just kind of dive into this, shall we? We already have a few things that we kind of already knew, but just confirmed, where Agent Locke is the person that is going to be the main character in Halo Nightfall, and he is actually going to be the playable character in Halo 5 Guardians, which I thought was already official, but I guess today they made it official with the announcement. A lot of the stuff going on. Otherwise, we have some other major characters that we'll probably see integrated into Halo 5 a little bit, maybe not so much, but Agent Locke is the primary focus here. One of the things that really pops out, though, is it's also being done on Isolation 04. So Nightfall takes place where Halo 1 started, which is kind of cool to begin with. But there's supposed to be a lot closer tie with Nightfall than there was Forward Into Dawn for Halo 4. That's one of the reasons why I have the experts on here to talk about the lore stuff. So TD Spiral and Final Postmortem have been very big within the lore of Halo. So I just kind of want to get your guys' opinions on how Nightfall is going to be integrated with Halo 5 and what's the importance of going back to Halo 1 or the Halo from Halo 1.
Okay. First of all, I'll put out a little disclaimer. I was at work when a lot of this information was coming out. I might as well just throw this out there. Yeah, TD Spiral and I are currently hanging out. We're in Chicago in the same room right now recording this. So he was kind of exploring the city, looking at the stuff on his phone, and I was at work looking at the stuff on my phone. I have not currently listened to or seen the panel in any format, but I've seen everything else.
So they won't release the panel probably until next week. So the information that we have is pretty much anything that anyone has tweeted out, put on Facebook, or any news organization that's come out. So that's what I'm basing a lot of my information off of.
Right. So I haven't explored it quite as much as other people who were not working today might have. But one of the things I immediately texted Garrett after TD Spiral, after I saw the trailer, was that this kind of struck me as a Forward Into Dawn, like part two, like a second take on a live action Halo movie released as a series. It kind of occurred to me that Forward Into Dawn was really the first contact scenario for the Halo universe. And if you haven't played the games, and let's face it, there's some people out there who don't like reading, Forward Into Dawn is kind of a good introduction to the Halo universe. You get introduced to the Insurrectionists, you get introduced to the Spartans' first contact with aliens and how intense that was for so many different people. Kind of briefly touch on AIs, I suppose, but they could go into that more. And then from the feeling that I'm getting so far is that this might actually be kind of that Halo discovery situation where there were no Forerunner artifacts or anything in Forward Into Dawn. And in this one, it clearly takes place on a Halo installation. So I think I have a feeling, and I'm willing to bet, that there's going to be a lot of this exploration of the idea that there were these ancient aliens that established all these structures and had a history before humanity went out into the galaxy. And so in this sense, for people who are new to the Halo series, you get your first contact scenario through Forward Into Dawn. And then Nightfall introduces you to the concept of Halo and the concept of the Forerunners. And it's kind of stepping you through the major moments in Halo universe history in live action format.
It definitely feels that it has that kind of atmosphere to it. And there's actually a couple other media outlets that did report that it is very much like the way they did Forward Into Dawn, where it's supposed to be more like a movie feeling, but it's going to be split up into kind of an episodic format. So pretty much the same kind of format that we have for Forward Into Dawn is being done here, but there was something else out there where it said that it's supposed to be a lot more closely tied to Halo 5 than Forward Into Dawn was for Halo 4. And Halo Nightfall is actually supposed to be more of an origin story for Agent Locke and kind of where he got his in with the UNSC.
And wasn't Forward Into Dawn kind of the same thing for Lasky? If you think about them along that line?
Yeah, pretty much. So what they're going to do to make it more relevant to the game is still, we have to see kind of when it comes out in November. But I'm a lot more excited about this than I think I was for Into the Dawn, just because of the vastness of the project, and it is going back to familiar territory that we are that we've been on before. It's going back to Installation 04. So we know the environment a little bit. We know kind of what's transpired there in the past.
And we know a lot of the tone as well.
Right.
It's going to be a little darker than Forward Into Dawn. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lot more serious.
Yeah, less Prometheus kind of inspired.
Yeah, also worth mentioning is Ridley Scott, which, I mean, I know it's an executive producer, but that still gets me kind of excited.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I definitely feel have a lot more gravity to it than maybe Forward Into Dawn did.
Yeah, there's going to be a bigger audience looking forward to Ridley Scott's work, and I think that'll bring a little bit more people into seeing Halo's a little bit more serious than just a video game, too.
So one of the things that was they talked about on The Note, which is Rooster Teeth's little gaming video series, and I'm pretty sure they probably picked this up from somewhere else, but this is where I watched it, was Mike Coulter, who's the person that's playing Agent Locke, Agent Jameson Locke. He said that the way that they're making Nightfall is supposed to cater to the hardcore Halo fans, but is downplayed enough to where people that aren't necessarily into the Halo universe can get into it and get involved, like himself. So it's going to be something very similar to Forza Horizon, just from a presentation standpoint of doing the movie episodic-like structure and being... catering to the hardcore Halo fans and catering to maybe the people that aren't too into Halo but can grab into a sci-fi universe.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do the same thing they did with Forward Into Dawn, where they bracket it with stuff that's currently happening in the universe? So you show Locke as he's interviewing or questioning the Arbiter and then jump back in time?
I think because they're doing Terminals and doing some of the extra content with Halo 2 Anniversary, that we'll see more of that done with that game than doing it in this series.
Good point.
At least that's the way I feel about it. Just because the way that they want to focus it more on what's going on for Nightfall instead of For the Dawn, which For the Dawn was kind of like an intermediary, and it wasn't tied with anything else except Halo 4 at the time.
Yeah.
Where this is tied directly with Halo 2 Anniversary. So that's just my take on it.
Right.
I want to read the description for what they had on the video as well. Just kind of going over what is going to be going on in Nightfall. This is straight from Xbox Wire. It says, taking place between the events of Halo 4 and Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Nightfall follows the origin story of legendary manhunter Jameson Locke, played by Mike Coulter, and his team as they are caught in a horrific terrorist attack while investigating terrorist activity on the distant colony world of Cedra. Led by Locke, the Office of Naval Intelligence, or ONI, agents are forced to coordinate with a Cedran commander with a remarkable history and deep-rooted mistrust for ONI. As the plot unravels, they're drawn to an ancient, hellish artifact where they're forced to fight for their survival, questioning everything and ultimately choose between their loyalties and their lives. Agent Locke is a new character in the Halo universe, poised to play a major role in Halo 5 Guardians, released on Xbox One in 2015.
So, I mean, everybody's wondering, clearly, what this thing that makes them fight for their lives is. I mean, no Halo fan has any idea what could possibly be hiding on Installation 04 that could make these guys fight for their lives, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, the ring blew up. I would think everything would have that was living on there either died or, like, left.
That's what I'm kind of wondering. It's like, how is there an atmosphere on the ring? I always thought it was kind of just, like, desolate.
That was a question I had too, because we see the picture or the scene of them walking over kind of the rocks, and then we have it going up to the explosion of into the Halo ring. But I guess Halo must have a system to where it can quarantine off certain sections, and we may have seen that in Primordium. I can't remember if we saw that or not, where they could like section off parts of the ring.
Well, we know the rings can repair themselves, but it's a slow process.
Yeah.
So I don't know if a section of a ring could do that.
So just from the fact that we have the ring there, I mean, the flood's there. I think that's a big proponent that, at least from looking at a lot of Twitter posts, people are expecting the flood to be in here.
How awesome would it be to see a live-action flood for the first time?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
That's it'd be all sick. CGI, but it would be pretty cool.
The thing that raises a question with me is that it's saying it's selective. Like, I remember hearing that part. It's selective by who it kills or something like that.
So Yeah, at the beginning of the trailer, they were talking about they found a compound that selectively kills humans, and they came back and said, no, it's an element that selectively kills humans.
That's really different.
So the first thing that pops into mind is the Forerunner Human War.
Yeah.
Right.
Was there some kind of agent that was developed by some offshoot of the Forerunners, whether warrior servants or builders or life workers or something, that no one knew about, that they had this element that when they were trying to fight off the humans, that they went and killed them off? And I'm actually reading through some Lynchium now, and there was some kind of powder that would dissolve life forms on the planet.
Well, that was just to make sure that after the Halos fired, the decaying bodies didn't corrupt the ecosystems and kill off more life than was planned. I think that was more of a scientific cover to make up for that oversight initially. what it takes me back to is actually Krypton, when we find out about the origins of the Flood from these ships outside the galaxy. And within those ships is this fine powder that's so simplistic that they think it's inert. And then tying into the fact that in, I think it was Primordium, they say that the Flood only infects humans. Only infects Forerunner, chooses not to infect humans. And it's almost like a continuation of that idea that at the present time in Halo history, it's reversed and the Flood is now infecting only humans.
Hmm.
And maybe it's evolved to a certain point to where this certain, I guess, kind of Flood or whatever is changed into kills humans instead of just infecting them. It just all out kills them.
You know that the Flood will infect anything because we've seen infected elites, infected brutes, whatnot, in all the Halo games, but what if this is like an ancient strain of the Flood, something different than what we unlocked in the first Halo game?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And there were Flood labs on Halo, so something could have been done during one of those experiments, or something could have been done during the explosion that caused Halo's destruction. I mean, these are all just kind of grabs in the air right now, but you guys would probably have the best approximate guess as to what's going on, I would think.
Well, the thing is, on the first Halo ring, they had these containment systems that were so complex that they could preserve fully intact specimens that after 100,000 years reawoken like they were just asleep.
Yeah.
And they were preserved in that state for, I mean, a really long time. 100,000 years is nothing to laugh at. So we can't assume that every single containment facility was unlocked on the first Halo once the Flood broke out. There's got to still be a bunch of dormant Flood in containment.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And who knows what happened when it exploded, because containment seals just break.
Yeah. So this is a pretty kind of random thing to bring up, but I don't know if you remember or not, but in the Halo CE like anniversary terminals, there was a ship that crashed on Installation 04, and they've never really kind of talked about that afterwards. And I know I've kind of just heard the idea that maybe it's somehow connected to, you know, Nightfall.
Yeah, they did make a point of showing that the ship was venting a gas when it crashed. But what strikes me about that is that Guilty Spark never identified the gas as Flood related. And at the same time, the guys in the Nightfall trailer are not identifying anything as Flood related. So there could be a connection there, possibly.
That they know of, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have to think it's on the same installation. So what if this ship crashed and then released something that was then found by this Oni agent and his team later on?
It could have been completely on the other side of the ring.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that not everything just collapsed, because there's still vegetation there. There's still, like, an atmosphere and things going on in other parts of the ring. So even though the ring itself is inert...
Do we know at what point in the history this takes place?
Between Halo 4 and Halo 5.
But it could, again, going back to the idea that it's like Four Nuts Dawn with flashbacks, we could be going back to like short, very, very shortly after it was destroyed. Because we have to remember that the Mona Lisa was in the area very shortly after its destruction, and they had Oni teams there almost immediately. What if Locke is some sort of extension of that?
So if it's between Halo 4 and Halo 5, that means it's still the 4.5 years after the first Halo contact.
Have they said that the main story takes place in that time period?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if there's like some wording trickery that's going on there.
Yeah, so it's taking place between the events of Halo 4 and Halo 5 Guardians.
Hmm. Okay.
Says they're right in the description. So this is definitely a while afterwards.
Yeah, you would definitely think the atmosphere would have vented by then.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on other than them being kind of late to the party, or it's just now showing up because there's some, I mean, going back to this element that selectively kills humans, and judging by the trailer, someone's mining the stuff and then I guess shipping it out to places and it's infecting people and killing them off. So who's doing that? What's doing that? How is it getting from the ring to other places? Because it seems like from the trailer, this element's getting to places, and there's a part in there where I think it's Coulter saying, we didn't find what this person was carrying, but we found out where it came from. And then the next scene you see is them on Halo.
Yeah, I think they are hinting at some sort of insurrectionist involvement.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it sounds a lot like it, and I've got my fingers crossed that it is what it sounds like. I think they're going to interact with, what's this character on the planet? What's his name?
Locke?
I don't think he has a name. I think he's just...
Yeah, they gave the name. What was it?
I think it was just they just said Cedric Commander or something like that.
I read the name somewhere when I was at work, but I don't recall the name because I just read it. But they've got this character who is part of this planet's society and has to interact with this Oni spook and come to terms with something in his past, which to me sounds very similar to from the Kilo 5 trilogy, the leader of the insurrectionist faction in that. And just the idea that there's this character that doesn't quite get along with the UNSC leads me to believe that it's an insurrectionist. Plus, in the trailer, he says something to the effect of, they're here for you as the UNSC or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact line, but it was, they're coming for the UNSC?
They're not coming for me, they're coming for you.
Something like that. I've
only seen it once or twice at this point.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact quote.
But I have a feeling the insurrectionists, I mean, we've seen in the extended universe that the insurrectionists are still in play in 2558, and I think they're going to start to maybe show that a little bit more in other mediums.
I would thought what the insurrectionists would have been done by now, especially after the war.
It really has a way of cropping back up, though, fighting amongst ourselves.
Yeah, I think they would be stronger after the war.
True.
Well, think about the efforts that the inner colonies and the Earth government spent on the war and how weakened they would be. I mean, like, I know we've got Infinity and we're the dominant power in the galaxy, but at the same point, like, within humanity itself, where does that power lie? We have this really powerful ship. We have Forerunner technology, but the Earth government was still very drastically weakened during the war.
Yeah.
I mean, the outer colonies that were passed over by the Covenant could have had a lot of time to recoup.
Very true.
Something that's popping up in my, it may not have anything to do with it, but at the end of the Halo 5 Guardians trailer, Arbiter was saying something about everybody, like, we need not, it's not here to save just us, but with everybody in the universe or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it went, but maybe this element that they're finding could have something to do with that. Like, maybe it's, they're figuring out that it's doing something like to everything. Like, maybe it's trying to kill off everything. Like, it was saying that it's selective to killing humans, that could maybe reach out to like killing other races of species or something. I don't know. But that just kind of popped up in my head.
Have you guys read the issue summary for issue 11 of Escalation?
I have not.
So it says something kind of interesting that kind of reminded me of the situation in Nightfall. It says, Spartans, Ray, and Thorn set out on a secret mission to uncover the origin of a monstrous new bioweapon. But is it too late to prevent a total catastrophe? So, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of, like, this compound or element.
Sounds familiar, that's for sure.
Yeah. And this issue apparently comes out, like, in October. So it's, like, right before, you know, the Master Chief Collection comes out in Nightfall.
Yeah, right before.
Yeah. So I don't know if that'll have, like, any connections or not, or...
Well, I'm sure there's going to be lots of connections once we actually see it come out, but the things at least that I'm pulling from it, is pretty big possibility there's Flood going to be related in this. That's kind of the first thing when I hear there's an element. And just kind of thinking back to the origins of the Flood and what we know so far from the 400 trilogy of having the simplistic life form that was inert, like you mentioned before. So something happened either with the destruction of the ring releasing a certain kind of Flood, or it changing in some way, or maybe, like you said, that first ship that came to the Halo rings, maybe that was something.
Yeah.
I had a big feeling that Flood's going to return in some form, and I think reintroducing here wouldn't be a bad thing for the franchise. I would think it would fit pretty well.
The Flood are like a very integral part of like the Halo universe. So I think leaving them out from Halo 3 on is like, it doesn't do the Flood justice.
Right.
Or, you know, the Primordial or the Precursors and all that.
Yeah. There's going to be lots of stuff that we'll talk about that too once I get around to those books. But I'm actually reading Silentium now, so we will be picking up the book stuff for our podcast here pretty soon. Yeah, we'll get to dive into those a little bit. Any other big takeaways that you guys have from the teaser and the other information?
Well, I will say there was a behind-the-scenes shot that I saw which showed most of the characters like suspended by wires up in the air.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I was thinking to myself, like, what is this? Like, taking away the wires, what does this show in the Halo universe that would make sense to me in context? And the very first thing that popped into my mind was we're on a portion of the Halo ring, and it's destabilized, it's spinning out of control. What if the gravity is going all weird? And this is causing them to have to go through these crazy contortions during firefights or whatnot. Something we haven't really seen on Installation 04. I think we saw it on Requiem, and that's honestly it. There was a bit on Primordium, maybe.
Mm.
But if we were to see something like that, the gravity effects of a Halo spinning out of control in live action, that would be pretty cool.
From just a perspective of seeing it floating in space, or like, do you think it would have a certain kind of plot point to it? Because I would assume it's not really drifting away too much from where it left off in the first place.
Honestly, it would have more to do with what the characters have to go through in order to survive what I'm going to assume is the Flood. So, I mean, it has more to do with the action sequences than anything else, but it's still a cool concept to think about, the fact that gravity is not consistent and that you have to work around that in order to survive.
Yeah. Well, it looks like from just the trailer, with them being on Halo, there is some kind of gravity field still being generated, and there's some parts of the ring that are still self-sustaining. I don't think it would ever be able to rebuild itself just because of how much it's lost and because of all the pieces that it's in, but just from the fact that there's like the environmental things are still working, there's still a piece still working, it does leave kind of open some questions as to what exactly can be there, whether it's remnants of the battle that did take place during Halo, what kind of Floods left behind there, if there's any other maybe factions of Covenant, which I don't think there would be any Covenant in here. It doesn't seem like something that they'd be including in here.
I feel like they would have to include it at some point, even if it's just a mention. Like, you can't... I'm going back to this idea that Forward Unto Dawn is the introduction to the Halo universe, and this is a continuation for those who don't play the games. Like, you have to at least mention or show a brief clip of them in some way. I'm sure that they're going to be in there to some degree.
I could see a mention. I'm not sure if it would just be like included in this.
I mean, the story is certainly not going to be about it. It's kind of obvious at this point, but I feel like you can't really ignore the Covenant and their relationship to the Halo installations.
That's true. But I just feel that for this production, it doesn't have to be necessarily as big of a plot point. Like, I don't think maybe just a mention would be fine.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying is they'll be talked about, if not briefly.
Got it. A few other things just to take away from it. The role that Christina plays, I think, I forget what it is, Mazer? Is that what it is? Masser? Something like that? I think she's the Cedrin commander that they mentioned in the description of the kind of force, or the militant force that's not really keen to Oni yet. What group of humans is really keen to what Oni has done? Pretty much. So there's a whole little piece also in the trailer about Jameson Locke kind of stepping out of his Oni role into the core of the UNSC forces. And that's one of the, I think, iconic scenes of him kind of stepping, or at least kind of talking with a couple other people. It seemed like he was stepping out of his Oni role into UNSC. And that was the whole dialogue between or behind their problems or your problems, something like that. I don't exactly remember.
I'm going to have to watch the trailer again. Yeah.
I haven't had too much time to prep for this.
I mean, it only just came out today. So
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have more to probably digest after San Diego Comic-Con wraps up, because there will probably be some other little details that they'll release on Waypoint over the weekend.
Right.
I guess that's just kind of a first look at what's coming. I'm excited to see what's coming for it.
I'm going to bring up kind of a tangential, hate that word, topic. I read on a Halo blog a couple weeks ago, somebody was talking about the possibility that Locke was actually the son of Johnson, which I know sounds kind of shoehorned when you bring it up in such a abbreviated way. But I've been thinking, I just recently went back and listened to all of I Love Bees for the first time, which is kind of, it impresses me that I still haven't listened to it at this point, or before I did listen to it about a week ago. And I'm just kind of being introduced to this idea of the Spartan 1.1s, the descendants of the original Orion Project candidates. And we know for a fact that Johnson was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Frankie has mentioned many times how they're trying to integrate I Love Bees into the current fiction of the Halo universe. And this blog post was the first thing I ever read about the possibility that Locke might be related to Johnson in some way. And it seemed forced to me at first, until I started to think about it in relation to I Love Bees and the possibility that they were bringing the Spartan 1.1s, the descendants of the original Orion candidates, into the fiction. What do you guys think about the possibility that Locke might actually be one of these Spartan descendants who's then thrust back into the war with the Covenant and the Flood and has to face this Halo installation?
So I did kind of have an interesting thought whenever they showed that he was an Oni agent for this teaser, and then going to the UNSC, how he became a Spartan. And that would actually kind of make sense as to how he would have been able to fitting into that kind of armor set. Now, I know the requirements for the newer Spartans isn't as robust as the original Spartan 1s and Spartan 2s, but just having that, I guess, more natural transition into going from an Oni agent to a UNSC operative to a Spartan would make sense when you fill in that kind of a gap. So I could see it.
I keep thinking about Johnson in Halo 3 and an ODST and his armor. This might just be me. I've never actually brought this up, but I feel like his armor was heavily influenced by the design of the Mjolnir armor in Halo 3. Like, he has portions of his armor that are different than the Marine's armor.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was symbolically, at least, to tie him back to the Master Chief and tie him back to the Spartans and say that he is, if not fully, at least partially, part of that family. And I feel like there's something about Locke's costume design that reminds me of Johnson's costume design. There's something that feels sort of Spartan about what he wears versus what standard UNSC gear has been shown to be, in the same way that Johnson's was. I mean, nothing overt, but it was enough to get me thinking, at least.
I didn't quite notice that to begin with.
I think especially the leg portions of the costume, you can see it in the trailer. There's parts that remind me so much of a Spartan exoskeleton.
Kind of compared to the rest, it does, actually. Just from looking at the movie poster that we have up on the stream, that kind of actually does resemble part of that. One of the initial skins that they were using during the training for the original Spartans. So yeah, it makes sense.
I took some screenshots while I was at work so I could discuss them via text with people. I just pulled it up, and just looking at this image, I mean, the color is exactly the same as the Mjolnir armor is. And then the rest of the guys are just wearing some standard greaves. What do you think of that?
It really does look a lot like the Master Chief's armor. I know that there's another guy in the back who's wearing something similar.
Yeah.
I can see it right there.
I'm not saying that there's like he's the only one who might be part of this faction,
right,
this group of people, but I mean the rest of the characters aren't wearing that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It might be that they're just stylizing the UNSC Marine armor a little bit more, but it certainly looks Spartan to me.
Or it's Oni field armor or something.
Something like that, yeah. But I don't know, I just thought it was an interesting idea, at the very least.
I hadn't thought about that, and after you guys talking about it, it kind of makes sense.
I'm still trying to process it. Trying to think on how that could make a connection like
so
that.
So who would have Johnson, I mean, how... Like, was there any kind of relationship that was shown during Halo that would have kind of signified that happening, or?
I mean, contact Harvest.
I mean, he knows what the lady's like. So.
Well, okay, there is that, yes.
I think, I mean, I know at the end, like, it was probably one of the worst parts of that book.
Yeah.
But it still happened.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the woman he sleeps with is at least partially African American, so... There's got to be...
That's right.
I mean, that's got to work out genetically somehow.
Mm. I totally forgot about that moment, to be honest.
I didn't even know it existed.
it's a weird scene.
Yeah, it's very awkward. But
it's a weird way to end the book.
Yeah.
I did not hear about any futuristic space condom that was used.
No.
Ooh.
You know, the spur of the moments. We almost got killed by aliens, kind of.
Yeah.
Stuff yeah, it's just like, screw it at this point. If we're going down, we're going down swinging.
It's definitely an interesting thing, though. That if it does come out that is the truth, that's definitely going to make things look a little bit more different, in my opinion. Like... Johnson, like, his legacy still lives on in a way, because, like, a lot of people really like Johnson as a character in Halo, especially number 3, and then when he kind of got the boot from the series, a lot of people got disappointed with it, but it'd be really unique to see him, Locke, be his son, or if he is related to him in some way, play a major part in the Halo franchise, or the next Halo.
A lot of discussion on forums, people... There are still people who want Johnson to come back as like a monitor or as like a forerunner preserved essence or something. And I'm just like, that would be much more forced than having his son come back and just doing the legacy of Johnson, you know?
Yeah.
And even then, I don't know if that's like the best way of going about it, because there was already previously a character that, you know, came from two legendary Halo like characters, like, you know, Miranda Keyes. Yeah, you know, she was the daughter of Captain Keyes and Halsey.
And Halsey, yep.
And that was a little forced at the time, too.
Yeah, I thought so.
But at the same time, look at where it's at in the current fiction. It kind of, it fills an interesting place, I suppose.
Even then, though, Miranda, I can't even remember her name now. she died in Halo 3, too. So, like, that kind of, the only thing that's left of that is Dr. Halsey. It'd definitely be pretty cool to see that Locke would be Johnson's son or somehow related to him.
Yeah. So while you guys were talking, I actually went back and listened to the trailer. The line from, I guess, the one UNSC or other militia person that we don't see or we don't know who's coming from, he says, "This is on you. You know that, don't you? Anyone that are after the Ors or after you in the UNSC, but you're on our soil."
Exactly. That sounds so much like an insurrectionist. Like, this is our territory.
It does.
This is not the Earth territory.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
And it's another thing. It's like them rebelling against it because the UNSC is trying to apprehend something that isn't theirs. Is going to sound something... It's going to cause a lot of conflict. But if they're going to sit there and try to harvest whatever it is that's killing these people, it's a huge problem. So
I don't know if it's just that, and I don't know who exactly is mining the ore in the first place. It is kind of interesting, though, where they're saying that anyone's after the ore is after you. It almost sounds like whoever is saying this kind of knows what's going on with the ore, and it's a targeted attack, or something else weird is going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's definitely grabbing a lot of people's attentions, and there's going to be a lot of theories on how this is going to affect different things in there. I'm really going to be interested to see how the whole thing is going to play out.
Sure.
Yep. I think that's pretty much all we can take from it. What do you guys think?
I have one last thing to ask you guys. Do you think the Covenant will play a role in this at all, or?
There's a part of me that wants to see them take a part in it, but I don't think they will.
I'd love to see that kind of interaction they have with the insurrectionists in the Kilo 5 trilogy, where, you know, they kind of have this uneasy like relationship.
It would be interesting if the entities are mining the ore is Covenant.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
If it's something that only kills humans,
yeah,
then the Covenant would be perfect to be mining it. And we know that there's certain sects of the Covenant that aren't in tune with our truce. Well, I guess that's really only with the elites, but there are other parts of the Covenant that are not still very keen of us either. So whether this is just the Flood, or whether it's the the Covenant doing something, the possibilities are out there.
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's as much of a Covenant influence, though.
No.
If anything, I still think that the Flood is something that they should just do instead of the Covenant. That way they can actually bring them back. I want to see the Flood return in some way. I mean, they were a pain in the butt to fight off, but it brought a lot of, like, it brought a different feeling to the game other than just shooting elites and grunts and hunters and all that.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if they come out with more information that kind of can help divulge some of the questions that we have over the weekend. I'll have a few questions to post over to one of the guys is actually there at San Diego Comic-Con. He's supposed to be at, I guess, the Halo party tonight. I think they're having a signing party or something. So I'm going to shoot a few questions over there to him to possibly ask, so we might get a few more answers here for next week's show. But for the time being, if you guys haven't checked out the first looks, it's on Xbox Wire. You can go over to news.xbox.com and find it there, or you can head on over to podtacular.com, and we have a post up there about it and some of the other stuff that's going on. But just as a reminder, Agent Jameson Locke is going to be the main character in Nightfall, and you're going to actually be playing him, playing as him in Halo 5 Guardians. And I believe you actually start out playing as him, and then you go find Chief, and then you'll either go back and forth between Chief and Locke, or you will be playing, I guess, as Chief when you meet up with him, which is an interesting way to do it. I kind of actually like going back and doing kind of the Halo 2 thing where you're playing as two separate characters and really getting a broader view of what's going on with the story.
I think the Master Chief can only be so interesting. I'd like to play as other characters as well.
I mean, you were playing as Gabriel Thorne in Spartan Ops, and that was something a little bit different. That way you get a different view in Halo.
No, you weren't playing as him.
Who was it then? Was it?
You were Crimson.
We were his character a lot. Yeah, you were playing as your own character.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
It was still the Noble Six, in essence, of Halo 4.
Or the Rookie.
Oh, never mind. I was...
Blanksley.
Gotcha.
Well, here's something interesting to me about this whole playing as Locke idea. First of all, we know through the Master Chief Collection trailer that Locke is engaging with the Arbiter to some degree to find the Chief. We know he's a manhunter, which is, I mean, that's got enough implications as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, looking at the fact that a character that in the main Halo games is going to be starring alongside the Chief, the fact that he is talking to another character that in another Halo game starred alongside the Chief is really cool. It's almost like a passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Like the Arbiter, who we know quite intimately because we've been the Arbiter, is handing off the torch to Locke, and now we're going to be Locke in the same way that we were the Arbiter. It's kind of a cool... it's just a cool idea that legacy is being handed down in a way.
Yeah, and I like the means of which they're doing to approach it, too. It's, like you said, well, I still think the Chief story is important. I think they still have a lot to go through of, like, humanity rediscovering its purpose in the grand scheme of the Halo universe and, like, fulfilling of the Librarian's Gaius, or however you want to say that term.
Gaius, isn't it?
Gaius.
Yeah.
And kind of fulfilling what the Librarian has planned for it. You can only play as Chief so much. And I think in order to get a good outside perspective of what Chief's going through, you will have to do it from a character that's not necessarily Chief. And Green Skull actually brought this up when we talked about the initial announcement of Halo 5 Guardians, where you're not playing as a Chief, but you're playing as someone else, and you're going to go find Chief and see what's really influencing him. Because now he's filled with all this emotion of not having Cortana, and we don't know how that's going to play out quite yet.
Here's an interesting idea. Think about it like this. In Halo 2, the Master Chief was kind of, in some ways, following the repercussions of the Arbiter's decision as he rebelled against the faction that he originally fought for. But now we have Locke following the actions of Master Chief as he rebels against the faction he originally fought for. I think that's an interesting reversal, in that the Chief was originally the loyal one seeing the repercussions of rebellion, and now we have Locke, who is maybe possibly going to be the loyal one seeing the repercussions of rebellion through the Chief.
It would make sense. It would be an interesting kind of plot to explore.
Yeah.
Going to where there's a certain viewpoint held within Oni and the UNSC, but then him going and finding the Chief and realizing things aren't quite the way it seems or has been portrayed throughout the rest of humanity as we know it, outside of what Foreigners have planned, outside of what the Librarian has planned, and all the other things that are going on within the Halo universe. So I definitely think that's possible. And it kind of seems, just from looking at some of the rest of the stuff that we've seen so far, it seems like it's being geared towards that way. And going back to the original Halo anniversary release trailer, the Arbiter is basically telling Locke, forget everything that Chief has done. Forget all the things that he's done to save humanity. And just look at who he is. And just look at finding him and figuring out what he's doing now.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. That almost seemed to me like and we're going back to the Master Chief Collection more than Nightfall right now, but
it's closely related, I think.
That seemed to me almost like a message to the fans, in a way. Like the small details don't matter. It's the larger picture that's really important. I never really expressed that when that trailer came out, but I think that was a significant portion of what the Arbiter was saying at that point.
So that'll pretty much cover it for talking about the information that we got about Nightfall today. Hopefully we have some more stuff come out over the next few days, over the weekend, and then by the time that San Diego Comic-Con wraps up, hopefully we'll have a little bit better picture of what's going on, because they usually have kind of like the poster interviews of going over what they talked about during the panel, and then a few other extra details as well. So we're likely to get some more information, and we'll talk about that, of course, on next week's show. I want to take a few moments to go over a few other smaller things that are happening, not necessarily Nightfall or San Diego Comic-Con wise, but the registration for the Drunken Halo 1v1 has opened. So if you guys are interested in partaking in some fun community related tournaments, then head on over to drunkenhalo.com and find more info on the 1v1 over there. Also, BigTeamBattle.net has opened its doors again, so they have their website back up and their forums back up, and you can go over and sign up over there. I'm not sure if they're bringing back leagues quite yet. I know they had them back during Halo Reach, and I think there may be plans for it a little later on, but as of right now, it's just their website and their forum, so go check that out as well. The custom map team, that's one of the big teams behind Halo Custom Edition modding, has released a trailer with release dates for the first 5 maps of their remastered campaign. It's the single player version 3, and the first map is supposed to be released on November 26th of this year, and then subsequent weeks after that for the rest of the first five maps. And then I think they'll probably have another schedule for releasing the back five afterwards. They've made some modifications to the campaign. They've added new vehicles. They've updated HUD elements. They've added new parts to the campaign to make it extended. That still fits within the realm of Halo. So if you want to go check out some of the stuff they're doing, you can. There's going to be a link in the show description when we make the podcast post. And it's actually, there's a link in the live stream right now if you're watching as well. So that's kind of it on the other news side of things. We have some submissions that we have that we've been putting off for a while. And I want to kind of take a chance to go through some of those since we've, I think the last time we took submissions was back in April. So it's been a good 3 months since we talked about them. So just kind of want to go over these real quick for you guys. First one here is from Cloud Massacre. And he writes, Dear Podtacular, well, I'm going to jump right in with some questions and thoughts about the upcoming Master Chief Halo bundle. First off, why do you guys think it's so cheap? Halo Anniversary was $60 by itself and it was missing maps. I think it would be I think that I would have paid $100 for it. What would you pay for this bundle realistically? Also, do you think they will make an Xbox One Master Chief bundle package? I haven't bought an Xbox One yet, but I would pour into an Xbox One bundle package. Also, if this Xbox One bundle were to come out, what would you expect to pay? What would you expect its price to be? And finally, which Halo are you most excited for the graphical revamp? I personally am most excited for Halo 3. I feel that overall it's my favorite out of the bunch. Thanks for reading all of this, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to interact directly with you and influence your show. Keep fragging lagging. It's a good question. We brought up the whole it being cheap before, and I think part of it is to appeal to people that are kind of on the edge on rebuying the same game just on a new updated console. And I think part of it is just the experience of pretty much the only thing you're new you're getting is the Halo 2 Anniversary Remake, Nightfall, dedicated server support, upgraded graphics, and access to the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta. I think that kind of, for them, justifies the cheap cost of it.
Did they say how they're going to implement that, like, digitally, or, like, how that's going to work?
Yeah, it's all digital. So you'll basically have a menu that you'll access it, or it'll probably, it may be a Xbox Live redeemable code that you get.
Right, because Forward on Sedan, they did through Waypoint. So it's going to be interesting. Right. I just can't wait for Nightfall.
I think a possibility of a Halo Master Chief Collection package with Xbox is very likely. They've done bundles in the past with Halo, and they've had Halo Special Edition consoles, so it wouldn't surprise me if they did a bundle for this one as well.
Yeah. I mean, granted, Halo is an Xbox console seller. I would think that it would be a smart decision to bundle it up. Right. That way people would be like, oh, well, I can play Halo on the next-gen consoles. That's a lot of problems that people are having with it, is them not being able to play the old games that they want to play on the new hardware. So them doing this, it'd definitely be a smart decision.
And I think it would also be a little bit more of an incentive for people to buy the Xbox One, especially since Halo is the big brand. And there'll be a reason for people to finally go out and get an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Next one is from Anthaz. He says, was listening to your podcast episode on the Master Chief Collection, and I have to say I think you're wrong on Nightfall. And granted, this one was a little while ago, so it's outdated a little bit. The community as a whole is speculating it's a decimated Halo ring. However, think about this. Was it the only foreigner structure that had to do with Halo Array that had a number done on it? The Ark, furthermore, in Awakening, the audiobook, Riser describes the Ark as a Halo ring but spread out and stomped flat. So think about this. Could it be a zoomed-in piece of the Ark? The rest of the perspective? Total speculation, but totally possible, especially since we all know we will be going back to the Lesser Ark at some point. And the piece that is missing and somewhat destroyed would have the spiny end piece to the Ark's arm. Just a thought. I think they already said that it was Installation 04. So before this, I would have maybe given it a little bit of credit, but we know for sure now that's Installation 04.
Yeah.
But I guess to bring up to that point, since we have some of the Halo experts on here, what do you guys think of the Ark's playing a part of Halo 5 going forward?
I think if you look at the fiction and you look at the story that's out there so far in regards to the current Halo universe, they're teasing a lot of stuff in regards to the arc. I think, I don't know, like the end of Halo 3 kind of closed off the arc and said, okay, it served its purpose. It got rid of the threats of the Flood and the Covenant and the war's over, et cetera, et cetera. Quick closure. But the fact that 343 keeps bringing it up makes me feel that, you know, obviously there's more purpose that it has to serve.
And there's a lot that's going on from just reading or finally picking up the books again, that the arcs do play at least a somewhat pivotal role. But I think a lot of the stuff that's going on with Halo going from here on out is going to be a lot more just related to Forerunners and all the technology that they put out there and just what happened in our past history with them. So I think it's going to expand past the Halos and the Ark, and we may get a little bit more into maybe some more of the Shield World and some more of the technology that they put out there during the war between us and them when the Forerunners were fighting off the Flood. And I know the Shield Worlds and the Halos were a big part of that, and then we have the Ark and the Lesser Ark, so how big of roles those are going to play, I'm totally not sure. I haven't really digested that much of the Halo universe to know.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, though, because when on the end of Halo 3, when that the ring kind of destroyed itself, I wonder what happened with the Ark itself. Like, how damaged it got, or what, like, if that Halo is being, like, fixed, or I wonder how that's gonna, like, if it will take place in Halo 5, or if we're gonna see anything like that in Halo 5.
Yes. So thank you, Anthaz, for that submission. Again, we've pretty much gotten the confirmation that it is installation of 4, but it doesn't mean that we won't see the arcs play another significant role down the line. Next one comes from Ash. He says, "Hi guys, love the show. I've been listening for about a year now and really appreciate the effort you guys put into the Halo community. I never get a chance to tune in live because of work and international time differences, but I download the podcast religiously every week." Well, thank you. Appreciate it. "Anyways, my idea isn't anything amazing. I would just like to see a discussion mediated by you guys between a representative of the competitive community, example Gandhi, Ninja, Saucy, etc., and someone more casually minded like Green Skull or Minolta, and really get these guys to have at it regarding Halo's multiplayer past, present, and future. I personally definitely agree with the more competitive side of things, but it would be nice to hear the opposition's thoughts on key issues like ranks, D-scope, spectator mode, MLG, etc. Thanks again, guys. Looking forward to next week's show." I'm not sure if I would want to be in the middle of that kind of argument, although I think Green Skull has a fair amount of high regards within the Halo community, and so does Saucy and Ninja. I would definitely try to get a wider variety of people. I wouldn't just do it one or the other. I would try to get maybe someone like Goose Checka in here as well, since she does Griffall, which is actually a pretty competitive game type when you drill down into the seasons that they do, and they have tournaments that people get really skilled at and really serious about. And there's other aspects around the Halo multiplayer community that I think is another big key part of it too. So it'd be cool to have that kind of discussion be there. Mediating it would be a chore in and of itself, but maybe one of these days we'll do something like that. Last one comes from Duty Bound. He says, "I finally found an experience to share with you guys." This is kind of harkening back to the Tales from the Foxhole that we used to have. He says, "So I picked the game type heavies and went into a game as Join in Progress. The game wasn't very long. It was CTF on Exile, and both teams had just grabbed each other's flag. So I spawned in and ran a few feet, then died from what seemed like nothing. At first, I thought it was just lag, and I had been run over by a vehicle or shot with a one-hit kill weapon. A few seconds into the respawn screen, I realized that the timer was stuck at 9. This usually indicates that the game is about to black screen. Well, that didn't happen. I could swivel the camera around my dead body, and I could see other players still running around the game. I tried to switch to my POV to other teammates, but I couldn't. I could only stare at my corpse. And then they hit the back button to check the scoreboard and saw that my gamertag wasn't listed. So essentially, I'm in a spectator mode, but unable to move the camera away from my body. Eventually, after quite some time, the game finally spawned me in and my gamertag was listed on the scorecard. Not exactly sure how this happened, seeing I was physically moving in the game 1 minute and then the game killed me and took me out of play. It was a very strange experience and one I felt worth sharing. I haven't seen network lag that bad on Halo 4 before.
I have. I've experienced all sorts of things. The weirdest thing I've seen, I don't know if it was just someone modding a lobby or whatever, but me and my buddy ran into a lobby. It was on Halo Reach. We're playing SWAT, and the guy was shooting elites out of his gun, and I have the footage to prove it. That was unique, what he was talking about, but there's definitely some things out there that can't really be explained in Halo. It's definitely different.
So, thank you for that, Duty Bound. It's been a while since we've seen you over here. Good to see you back over here, and thank you for that tale from the foxhole. I wish we had more of those. I wish some more people would send those in, because those were actually really fun to read back in the day.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Hopefully we get some more of those experiences as we get the Master Chief Collection out, and people start to go nostalgia crazy over the past maps that they used to play. That'd be good. Other than that, that pretty much covers it for tonight. It's a pretty short show. I thought it would be a little bit longer just from the announcement that we had today, but nothing too big in terms of details into what's going to go on within Nightfall outside of just kind of have a general environment that it's set in, being on Halo and having this weird kind of element in there. But I want to give a thanks to Final Postmortem and TD Spiral for coming on the show and imparting us with your wisdom of the Halo universe.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's always good to have an outlet for these thoughts that we kind of can't express many other places.
Yeah, I've been here with Isaac for a week, and we've just all been having all these sorts of Halo conversations. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to get that out there.
Cool. Is there anything else that's kind of been nail-biting? Because I know you guys actually did a podcast recently after a long time being off. So is there any kind of other things going on within the Halo universe that you think is going to be playing a significant role in the upcoming Halo stories?
Well, I'm not going to ruin anything that we talked about in our podcast. I would recommend that if you want to listen to it, you should go to forwardonthedawn.com.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we talk a lot about the reveal of the Master Chief Collection, and more specifically Halo 2 Anniversary and Broken Circle, and a lot of the potential that revisiting those times in Halo history has for indicating what the future has to hold for us as fans. So, that's a whole other podcast in and of itself, even for PodTech there. I mean, we discussed it on the Forward of the Dawn podcast. We could discuss it again here, but, I would just say lots of people are currently talking about that in the community. So, I mean, just engage wherever people are interested in discussing what's going on in that part of the fiction.
Definitely. And we'll be having podcasts to pick up on the book stuff where we left off last year, since I was lazy. But I have picked up Sunlichium. I have been reading that. I do like that the style of writing is a little bit different than his first two books. Just the way he's going through more of kind of a log of what's going on that's been translated versus kind of going towards how they spoke back in the day. So, or maybe I just gotten used to his writing style to where it's not bugging me as much anymore. But it's a little easier to read. It's an interesting perspective taking it kind of as log files instead of like an actual progressive timeline.
Well, I think it's cool how they talk about I think it's in Primordium, they say the Born-Stellar relations are something that humanity is aware of. So that's also, I mean, technically Cryptum is also a log. They just didn't acknowledge it at the time that book came out.
I didn't quite get that feeling, but all right.
It's a very brief comment in Primordium, I think towards the end of the book.
Okay, well, I'm still at the beginning. So I'm on string 4.
Spoiler alert.
I spelled that one sentence.
Oh, well. I'll get there eventually. It'll probably take me 2 or 3 weeks to get through the book.
Are you reading it or are you listening to the audiobook?
Reading it. I can't listen to audiobooks.
I would recommend at least listening to the last two or three chapters in audiobook if you get a chance to get a hold of it.
Okay, the only reason special. I don't do audiobook is because I would have the tendency to be doing something else while I'm doing it, and then I would completely just blank out on sections.
Even if you were doing that with Primordium, I think it's the last chapter or two, it would catch your attention even if you were doing something else.
Okay.
I may do that for work instead of listening to music.
I mean, I won't say buy the whole thing if you're only going to listen to the last two chapters, but you should at least listen to the last two chapters.
What benefit do you think it has over just reading it?
There's a big difference. For one, Tim Dadabo, who does the voice of Guilty Spark, narrates the whole thing, and they do some interesting stuff with the way his voice changes towards the end of the book.
Okay.
Hmm.
Is he reading him as Guilty Spark unfiltered, or are they filtering his voice to be Guilty Spark too?
It's unfiltered for the majority of the book. I mean, I might as well just say it as it is. Mm. It's been out for a while. Yeah, the majority of the book is him just reading it. And then Tim Dadabo is a very good voice actor. He does so many different characters and so many different tones and inflections. And he pulled all of that into his reading of this book. But then for the last chapter, when they kind of reveal... I mean, I'm assuming that you know all the spoilers for the book by this point, right?
I mean, if I don't, I don't care if it's spoiled anyways.
I've heard you say that before, but I still get very nervous spoiling stuff for people who haven't read it. But towards the end of the book, they reveal that Chakas is Guilty Spark. And around the time of that revelation in the book, they start slowly switching his voice over to this robotic monitor voice. And the last portion of the book is actually read as 343 Guilty Spark, and it's so perfect. I mean, it sounds like it's pulled straight from a Halo game. It's something that, I mean, I've listened to a lot of audiobooks. I think Harry Potter was always one of my favorites. I listened to it growing up, but this one, it just takes the cake with the way that they pull it off and integrate it into the universe, and the way he does so many different voices. I just think there's something really special about that audiobook.
I didn't know you could actually... Can you actually buy audiobooks in chapters, or I thought you had to buy the whole thing?
I got the whole thing in one download. I didn't know you could do in chapters either.
No, I don't think you can do it in chapters. That's not what I was saying. I just think if you get a chance to listen to the last couple chapters, if someone else has it or something like that, I recommend it.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Okay.
Got it. That'll wrap it up for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. For those that are over on the Twitch channel, for those that are listening to us via podcast form in the download, we do our shows live on Twitch TV every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So check it out if you are around. And make sure you check out the podcast network. That's podcast.com. And we're a network of game-specific podcasts. So there's other podcasts over there like The Guardian of Destiny, their podcast, The Guardian Radio. They're actually, this past week, they're number 11 on the iTunes podcast store. So good job, guys, for getting up there. Yeah, they are really high up there, doing some good stuff.
That's wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Another good podcast over on the network is Critcast. They're the Team Fortress 2 podcast, and of course Reachcast, our friends that do PlanetSide 2, and there is How to Murder Time over there as well. So make sure you check that podcast, those podcasts out. They're really good podcasts to listen to, especially if you're interested in to diversify yourself for other podcasts that are out there, or if you just need some other time to fill with podcasting, they're good listens, even if you're not necessarily interested in playing the games. We also have a new game night, which we premiered this week, Tactical Tuesdays. That's going to be our matchmaking nights, and we'll probably carry that all the way through until the Master Chief Collection comes out. So we're kind of rotating through games right now. This last week we did Halo Reach matchmaking, and we had about 9 people show up for the first one, which is a pretty decent turnout. We will be rotating through Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 for matchmaking. So make sure that you pay attention to the forums. That's where we're posting what games we're doing on a per weekly basis. So make sure you check that out and then get some matchmaking on. Make sure you check out the forums, like I said before, podtagather.com/forums. We have some discussions going on over there. And some people that have been beating me to the punch on a lot of new stuff recently. So we actually have a pretty decent group of guys over there posting stuff on a regular basis, which is good because I can't necessarily keep up with everything. But we are looking to get some positions open for the community to get involved with. But the big way you can help out right now is going over to the forums and just kind of participating over there. We would really appreciate it. We would like to talk about stuff with you guys, whether it be Halo Nightfall, Halo 5 Guardians, the Master Chief Collection, or anything other, anything else Halo-related within the Halo universe, which would be awesome. Make sure you check out our social media networks. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and of course we're on YouTube. We'll probably be doing an RTX recap. I would say the video may be out within the next 2 weeks or so. I'm picking up a lot of production stuff for the Halo Mole, so that's taking up a lot of time. So the video for RTX hopefully will be done soon. No guarantees. I still have to go through the clips and see what I want to edit out. But at least the photos are up, so if you haven't seen those yet, head on over to the Facebook page and the RTX photos are there. Make sure you check out For Another Dawn. Like Final Postmortem said, they had their podcast recently talking about the Halo 5 Guardians announcement, the announcement for Halo 2 anniversary, and the Master Chief Collection, and all the info that they had currently at the time about Nightfall. So I would expect another podcast from you guys probably a little soon after San Diego Comic-Con is done, right? Especially with the Nightfall stuff.
There's certainly a lot of information that's being shot out there pretty quickly. So I can never say when our podcasts are going to happen. They're kind of sporadic. And it's when all three of us feel we have a lot to contribute to the discussion. But again, with this increased output of Halo material, I'm sure there's going to be another one soon.
Very cool. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 434, which is ironically the address that 343 Industries is at, 434 Kirkland Way.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Such a coincidence. Another coincidence is Podtacular's anniversary is Monday, July 28th, our 9th anniversary. So for those keeping track, we've come a long way.
That
is almost 10. I have some interesting plans for 10, which I've got to talk to I got to talk to a lot of people about.
It's got free drinks, right?
It might.
Wait.
it very well might. We'll see. Thank you, Violet Postmortem and TD Spiral, for being on and talking with us about the Nightfall announcement. And BioWolf, welcome to the craziness of this Podtacular.
Thanks for having me, man.
And we will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging mysterious human-killing elements.